You're listening to the Nightly Gaming News Podcast, episode 9, on this Friday night, September 13th, 2019. And I am your host, Mr. Plow, 1223, aka Matthew Carabellas, here with my co-host, sort of. I don't know. Matt, you want to say hi?
How's it going, everybody?
And today we are just going to talk about how GameStop is closing up stores, about 200 of them, by the end of this year. So it's many different reports. Stay tuned for that, but before we get started speaking about that, a little ad here from our sponsor. Anchor is the way that brings you the podcast here through many different services, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. So once again, before we get started, a little ad read here from our sponsor. Oakley Oakley. So let's get started here, Matt. So as you've probably heard, GameStop is closing 200 of their stores nationwide, set for the end of 2019, considering that they already closed up, what was it? They laid off about half of the staff for Game Informer magazine, and they also laid off a whole bunch of regional managers, about more than half of that, because they had about 25 regions that were serviced by managers in the United States, and now those regions have gone down to about 3. So they lost about a good 20 plus people there. This all happened within the last 6 months, I would say. Matt, did you hear about any of this going on with Game Informer or with any of the regional managers losing their jobs?
I personally didn't. I know you had mentioned something to me about it, and I mean, with GameStop, I mean, just the way that they at least seem to handle business, I guess, kind of, it makes sense why they would be closing stores, just because, I mean, when you're selling these brand new games to people and they walk out the door and say, for whatever reason, I guess they beat the game or something in like a week or so, they come back, it's already worth half of what they initially paid a week ago.
Well, so sometimes it's not even worth half. Sometimes you'll play a game, you'll beat it within a week, and then if it's not as popular as high demand, the thing that comes to mind is sports games. That the first that you're going to get maybe a quarter percentage, like 25% of what you paid for it originally. So $60 could go down to like $20 in a week's time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like,
and That's their whole marketing, or their whole, like, I think they call it like Circle of Life. And I see GameStop is hiring retail staff. They always start, their first sentence in the description is, "Know the Circle of Life." And as I understand it from all the people that, because I know a girl who's a manager at a GameStop, she stated that the Circle of Life was really just like, you buy the new game, then the new game is played. The new game is then sent back into GameStop. They purchase it for like severely less than what you paid for it. And then they sell it to try to make some profit depending on when they get a copy of the game, hence the Circle of Life. Yeah. But that whole amount of money that you spend on a brand new game and you're going to get pennies on the dollar for it, that is just horrible business model right there.
Yeah, that's why, like, I've never, if I really want to, I'll sell something to GameStop, but I mean, I'm not going to be like, that's the first place I'm going to go when I want to sell something, just because in the long run, it's going to screw me over more, just because I've already paid this much for a game.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to go in there and have them be like, yeah, we'll give you a quarter of what you paid for like a month ago. It's like, it's still a new game. It's like, no, someone's going to buy it for that new game price that you're going to sell it for, when you're going to give me $15 for it.
You're better selling it off on the street somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's your best bet to sell it elsewhere. I mean, it just makes sense because people aren't going there. And I mean, yeah, I personally pre-order games from there, but that's just because I like the physical copies of games. And there's really, in GameStop, from what I understand, has generally offered the best,
like, whatchamacallit? What you talking about? Best what?
I'm trying to think. Like, what's it called? not really rewards, but benefits to pre-ordering through them, like
So like perks. So you have,
yeah, like you get this free whatever you get. For instance, Call of Duty. I mean, I've pre-ordered Call of Duty from GameStop
several times,
and it's always been like, yeah, you pre-order this game and you get in-game currency for the game, the newest game that just came out, I guess.
For a Modern Warfare?
Not even just that. It's like you pre-order. So yeah, I mean, for instance, that's another perk you would get with GameStop, is you pre-order Modern Warfare through GameStop, and you, I believe it was, you get some sort of in-game currency for Black Ops 4, just as kind of a perk to get you to pre-order it. Because I mean, you also get other things too with it. You'll get like an in-game character, I think it was, and sometimes you get calling cards or backgrounds for the PlayStation, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's nice, but just the turnaround on the games. I mean, granted, multiplayer games like that, you're not gonna be selling those back unless you actually like hate the game.
Oh no, I mean, you have like a COD or like a Destiny or something like that, and the multiplayer is just gonna be fantastic because there's gonna be content dropped every single week, pretty much. Yeah, so you're not gonna be trading that bad boy in until like everything is done with the season and everything's done with everything else, you know.
Yeah, or the new game comes out or something like that. But like, for instance, Black Ops 4, every DLC that has come out for that one, I personally feel has not been worth the DLC pass, just because it's not been fun, at least for me personally. And a lot of people that I've played with, they just not wanted to play any of the new DLC maps you get. So it's not, I mean, I'm not, obviously this isn't GameStop's fault.
It's like the culture of it all, pretty much, because the gaming culture is now, instead of it being buying physical copies, it's more going to digital, if anything. So you have a whole bunch of like digital sales going on, and that is what, or like, and you also have daily content drops for like Fortnite and games like that. So that's really hurting the whole Circle of Life deal that GameStop is trying to employ. Which one do you prefer? Do you like that games provide you daily content, or do you like DLCs where they're pretty much like every month or every couple months?
Honestly, to me, it really depends on the game.
Because DLCs, I'm pretty sure, are meant to be dropped every couple months, like every quarter, you know, so every like 3 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, it really obviously depends on the developers, and I think they just need to understand that people are spending money on this, and people are buying this extra DLC, game pass or map pack pass or whatever that they've done in the past, and you're paying the $60 for the initial game, and then like another $60 close to, if not on top of that game, to get these maps that you're supposed to enjoy, but when they're so bad, it's not even worth it at that point.
DLC, sometimes that is broken, but then you'll have like whole games that are also broken as well. If you have, so like for instance, the Fallout 76, that game was completely broken when it first came out, and they tried then dropping some DLC for it recently, and now everybody's like, well, is the DLC even going to be worth it at this point, because it's like the game is broken when it first came out, so is it going to be anything better?
Kind of sucks, because like Black Ops 4, it seems something new breaks with every update that they put out. I know this is kind of veering away from the topic of GameStop.
No, it kind of still goes from it. I mean, because if developers bring out broken games, or the games are going to be broken after a single update, and granted, that's how, from what I understand, that's how making a game it pretty much is, because if you want something to happen, but then it affects another thing of code in the game, then you're going to have to put something out there to fix that, and it's just a constant fixing and breaking. So that also then affects GameStop's ability to sell games, because nobody wants to buy these broken-ass games.
Yeah.
So
and what just, game companies or what game developers, like, personally, what I think they need to do is something along the lines of, for instance, what Cyberpunk is doing. They're not going to release the game until they know it's absolutely perfect. I know there's a big difference between single player and multiplayer games in that aspect, but still, like, if you're a developer and you're wanting people to put down 60, 80, 100 bucks, even more for a game mm-hmm. with all these little added bonuses, like different versions of the game, you get the base game where you can get the step up, or then you get the big version of the game for 100 or 120 bucks.
With the game and the art and everything else.
Yeah, it's like you need to make sure that you're putting out a quality enough product to where it's worth that. I mean, the amount of, like, again, back to Call of Duty, but like they sell so many copies of that game. And every year it seems that there's always something wrong with it. And there's always something people are going to complain about. But I mean, it makes sense because everyone's opinions on what a perfect game is and what good content is different than
other people's. Well, what's good about CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk 2077 is that they're not doing the multiplayer at launch with the game, I'm pretty sure. They're doing multiplayer as a whole separate thing, like what they did, like what Rockstar did with Red Dead Redemption 2. The multiplayer didn't come out for Red Dead Redemption 2 until maybe 2-3 months after the base game came out. So they were able to focus on the base game, the story, and then focus then on the multiplayer, which was pretty cool. So they could put all their eggs in one basket and then go to the other, you know? So I think that's what CD Projekt Red is doing, and that's going to be good because then it's going to appeal to people like me who like single player, really story heavy games that I can get my money's worth. And then it's going to appeal to you as well because you like the multiplayer aspect of it. So that's going to be really good.
Yeah.
But moving on to another piece of information about GameStop. If you didn't currently know, GameStop has over 5,700 stores across 14 different countries. And more than 4,000 of those stores are in US and Canada. So when you put into retrospect that they're going to close between 180 and 200 underperforming stores by the end of the year, that's kind of like a drop in the bucket a little bit because they have over 5,000 stores available to them in those 14 different countries. But what's interesting though is, did you hear that I said underperforming stores? Well, according to the CFO, he said that more than 95% of the stores are performing profitable numbers. And again, I couldn't find any exact like numbers of profitability that they were looking at. I'm sure it just means that if the store was in the green instead of in the red type of deal. But he was saying that more than 95% of the stores are performing fine. So 5%, a little less maybe, are the stores that are underperforming. And again, I want to know what their qualifications are for underperformance. Because, like, is it stores that don't sell enough new games or stores that don't sell enough accessories? Because GameStop has shifted over to accessories and being kind of like your hot topic of video games almost. Like, what do you think this underperforming number thing is?
I think it's games. I think it's obviously because that's their biggest selling point is pre-orders and new games and kind of the whole cycle of selling games, buying them back, selling them for profit, that kind of stuff. I feel like less and less people are doing that, especially with stuff like the Xbox Game Pass and that PlayStation thing where you can just get the games for a monthly subscription downloaded
PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
I didn't know the name of it either because honestly
I paid more attention to the Xbox Game Pass.
Exactly.
I mean that's
but that's right. A completely different story though because that is something that is worth talking about. PlayStation, you hear me.
But I think that's one of the big downfalls for GameStop is
the streaming games availability.
Yeah, the streaming platforms and how everyone switching over to digital and all the consoles are getting more and more storage space, so you don't have to buy the physical copy, you just download it and you get it earlier than you do the actual physical copy. And especially things like Google Stadia, where it's all in a cloud. You pay a monthly subscription, you get all these different games, play them wherever, whenever you want. Well, I think that's just not helping GameStop as much, because no one, or I shouldn't say nobody, but
a good majority.
Yeah, less and less people are buying physical copies and are either, one, granted, yes, you can buy digital codes and whatnot from GameStop's website, but
that's actually, PlayStation said, this was one of the things that I found, was that PlayStation said from April of 2019, Sony said they will no longer let GameStop or any other retailer sell download codes for PS4 games. So you can't buy download codes for PlayStation 4 games anymore from GameStop. So that probably put a big dent in their wallet, because everybody's trying to buy digital. So, you know.
Yeah. I think it's digital games and then
the ability to download it.
Then the whole streaming games, like Netflix and Hulu style game streaming, like Stadia and the PlayStation and Xbox streaming services. I think those are what's going to be the biggest, or what's going to cause GameStop to take the biggest hit, because it's going to be way more convenient for people to just sit in their house, apartment, wherever, on their couch, turn on their Xbox or PlayStation and buy this pass with their card, and then download the game sitting down. You don't even have to leave your house. It's just going to be a lot easier, and I think for most people, that's going to be how it's going to go. At least from what I've heard, a lot of people I know are like, yeah, I prefer. There's still a few people like myself. Yeah, there's still a few people like myself who, like, I always like to have a physical copy, especially if it's some,
for nostalgia purposes.
That, or like a special edition case or something like that. It's always, because nice,
those steel boxes, those steel books are really, really good. I like those steel books, because, like, I remember back when Black Ops first came out, I think it was you who got steelbook special edition of Black Ops 1 when we were Black Ops 2, because that one was really, really nice, even though it was literally a thing of sheet metal, but it just looked really, really cool. Looked better than just having a, you know,
paper and plastic.
Yeah. And honestly, for back, I think, what was it, like $70 you paid for the special edition instead of 60, and you got the steelbook, you got some cool art and all that stuff, right? I think that made it more of a option than for people to go to GameStops and be like, hey, I want this. You have it? Good. Give it to me.
Yeah.
But the whole digital landscape is definitely hurting them, for sure.
Yeah. And I know I read an article, too, about the whole store closings and whatnot. And how the CEO was saying, I think I read this on ABC News or something.
Yes, state where you say it, because we have to give credit where credit is due.
Where, it was ABC 7 News. I can't remember exactly which. I guess you say a branch of it, but
are you talking about CEO Sherman? What's his first name? I have it here somewhere.
George
Sherman. Yes, yeah, CEO of GameStop.
Where they essentially said that they're closing, like you said, the 180 to 200 stores, but they're looking to create some form of like game hub or something. So I'm not sure.
Like gamers lounge type of deal, like what we have up in Chicago.
Yeah, kind of like that night place that we've gone to. I think that's what he's talking about there. Which, I mean, yes, it would be interesting, and I definitely would be curious to see how GameStop goes about doing that.
Well, they have the stores ready to go. They have all these stores that are, you know, physical locations that literally they used to be just like Starbucks's. Like, you would go, you'd see a GameStop on every corner of every major intersection and every major mall. And now what they can do is they literally can make these places like they want to, if they do it correctly, into these, like, these gamer lounges where kids can drink their Bang cotton candy and they can vape their Juul pod.
A lot of stores though are small, so I mean, they're gonna have to take whatever money they're saving from closing these stores down to reinvest them into actually making some of these stores bigger. Because, for instance, some of the stores back by us, some of them are really small, like in the mall. That's really small. I mean, granted, they're not going to make every single GameStop into one of these game hub things. They probably would choose some of the bigger locations and then make those into these gaming hubs. But still, it's going to take a lot of money for, which, I mean, it's GameStop. And they probably have the funds for it. It's just going to take a lot of them closing.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to, like, do a whole remodel of the stores they want to do it with. And it's interesting that you say money-wise, because GameStop actually, when they were doing well, they actually had enough money saved to the point where this was not necessarily saved, but they had enough money coming in and profiting that they could essentially go about doing this, where they could actually change these stores over to, you know, like multi-level towers of just gamingness, I guess you could say. But yeah, they're definitely going to have to re-evaluate these stores if they want to keep them going. Because as of right now, the only thing that I have that I found from, I think it was a CNBC article that said that they, with stores, they said that they were going to definitely, yeah, try to go about changing them up. Did you have anything else to say to that, Matt?
I don't think so.
Next bit of news is that they were expected to make about a $1.34 billion and for the quarter, and again, the quarter is only like about 3-4 months long, I believe, for business terms. They actually only made about $1.29 billion, so just shy of it. So they're real upset about those few billions there, or few millions, I should say. And if this is not in anything that you can understand, because like me, you're not a business person, their loss actually meant about a $4.52 loss per share on their stock. So their stock is actually below $5 right now. So I honestly think that's going to affect a lot of investors having any hope that GameStop is going to come forward and be okay from this whole digital download era as of right now. But yeah, let's see if there's anything else that I missed. Yeah, experts in the business are just saying that the store's sales are to fall to the low teens, compared to about 5-10% drop of last year's same quarter. So you do see an ever-increasing trend that these stores and the stock is, and the sales, the numbers are definitely decreasing for sure. But here's something I forgot to mention. The CEO dude that you were talking about, George Sherman, he said that he's, quote, optimizing our store base for the increasing digital world as essential for GameStop's future and increasing profit productivity, end quote. So it's good that they understand that it is needing, there is a need to make things more digital, and they revamped their website to allow for easier and better purchases online, but I don't think that's going to be enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they're going to have to do to kind of, I guess, win back the people they lost. But I'm sure they'll come up with some way to get people back. I mean, it's GameStop. People are going to go back.
It is.
I don't think they're going to have an issue.
Yeah, it is a store that people have been going to for years. Because even you and I have been going to a GameStop for, I mean, how long now? It was either GameStop or Best Buy. I mean, we never bought games. I mean, I never bought games at Target or Walmart unless they had a really good, like, Christmas deal. It was always, like, Best Buy or GameStop.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you another place that I've shopped more than GameStop, besides, like, Best Buy or something, but I've given them my fair share.
You've given them your fair share of hard-earned money. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a ton of other people have done that as well. But here's another cool little piece that the CEO said that they were going to launch. It's kind of like with the groceries, where somebody picks up your groceries in store, and it's like the pull-up pickup service thing. He wants GameStop.com to have a buy online and pick up in store option. So you buy the game online and it's like ready for you to pick it up in store, ready to go type of deal. So you're not wasting time in store. You just get the game, you go play it online. I think that's going to hurt them, to be honest. Because if a person's not going to be able to spend time in the store, then profits are not going to be... There's not going to be additional profits coming from that person picking up their game, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know when I was at American Eagle, granted, completely different industry, but we always were told, sell more because the customer is in the store, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that this pickup in store thing is going to produce profits, or is it going to reduce the amount of time that people have a chance to buy all these like gaming accessories now that they have Razer and Corsair and all these high-tech PC parts as well?
So you're talking about like people buying on the app and then picking up in store?
Yeah, or like the website. And then they go in store, but like it's the amount of time that people have that when they go into the store.
I mean, honestly, I feel that going into a store, buying your game and checking out and driving home, I feel like it would take maybe a little less time to order it online, because you don't have to wait in a line, God forbid. But I don't know that it would really change much. I don't know that it would hurt them. I don't know that it would help them. I feel like it would just be, here's another way you can buy your stuff. You can buy it online, pick it up in the store. But I still think the best way is either buy digitally, have it shipped to you, or, I mean, if you're going to buy it and pick it up, you might as well just go straight to the store. There's no sense in buying it online and miss waiting in a line for like a minute. Because, I mean, generally, unless it's a big sale going on or a new game coming out, I don't think I've ever seen an extremely long line at a GameStop location.
I mean, honestly, the stores only had that long of a line for, like, a new release when they first came out.
Yeah, I've only seen them for midnight releases, which I don't even think GameStop really does anymore, as far as I understand.
They do. There was a midnight release, I think, that I saw for Borderlands 3 that just came out, but I don't know exactly... I don't know if it was just that one store, because that was over in California, because they had a ton of people at that store, but I think there were people from the game that were, like, signing the games for them, the people that were, like, in the game. So I think that's probably why they had the midnight release there, but...
Yeah.
It very well could be that GameStop just got rid of the midnight release thing as an option, you know?
I think I only participated in, like, one or two.
Yeah, back when we were both in high school, just like, this is the coolest thing ever. It was like a midnight release for a movie, you know?
Yeah, and now it's like, I don't really care as much. It's like, I'll get the game and I'll play it when I get it. I don't need to be the first one to play it, especially especially working now. It's like, there's no point, because you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to play this game at midnight and then go to work at 6 in the morning.
Because that's not a possibility. I mean, it could be if you're going to kill yourself, but, you know, being dead tired. But, I mean, for a person, like, an average person like you and me, they're not going to take up their time that they could be sleeping before they go to work to go get a game and then download it.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't think it's worth it anymore, at least.
It's definitely not something that a lot of people think of when they think of getting a game now. They think of just going to the store of their choice and, you know, downloading it. I mean, literally, you can download it once you purchase it straight from your phone on the app to your home console or whatever, and have it ready for you when you come home. So
yeah.
So honestly, that's the easiest way that I personally know about how to get a game starting, you know, downloaded. So
yeah.
But who knows? Maybe this online, you buy online and you pick up in store, might actually be something that could actually work. They could just be like the game version of Target and Walmart for the grocery version.
Yeah. But we'll see how things go with GameStop. I'm sure they'll come up with something interesting that
it all kind of
people weren't expecting or something.
Well, it all kind of depends on this next decade, I would say, because they started dying off as soon as, like, I want to say 2016, 2015 maybe, and now, like, this is a major, just, you know, stake to the heart type of deal, because this is literally 200 stores. That's a lot of stores. And I mean, just the whole gaming culture of digitally downloading things and having other options to get the games, like, you don't need to physically get the games anymore. So we'll see. We'll have to see what happens in the near future. But at that point, who knows? Maybe video games are not even going to be a thing anymore. Maybe there's going to be something else out there, some other entertainment. So, I don't know.
You never know.
Exactly. But I was going to say that I believe is everything that I had to say about the ever impending doom on the company that is GameStop. You have anything else to add to their closure of more than 200 stores and the closures and the refitting that they're trying to do for themselves?
Well, I wish them the best of luck.
Are you going to actually go about buying more video games from them if they actually survive this?
I probably will. I mean, I have to see, because Modern Warfare, I mean, that's the most recent game I've bought from GameStop. And
I mean, honestly, give the Xbox Game Pass or even the PlayStation Now thing a try, because that is the best and easiest way to go about getting games.
Yeah, especially after building a PC, I mean.
Oh, yeah, with building your own PC now being so easy to go about making, like, this is, honestly, Xbox themselves, I'm pretty sure, is heading towards the direction of just putting all their stuff on their Windows computers anyway. So PlayStation might be the last one out there for hardcore gamers, because Nintendo's got the market on casual gamers, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So
they have that locked down. They're not gonna.
Get
I don't think you can't outcast. We'll get Nintendo.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. As of right now, though, time for the outro, I would say. So thank you to everybody who has listened to this episode of the Nightly Gaming News. This was episode 9, about GameStop closing even more stores and dying even slightly more on the inside and the outside. So thank you again for all who have listened, and make sure to go to anchor.fm/nightlygamingnews for all your options of where to find my podcast and where to make sure to follow and hit that notification to make sure of when new stuff is available. This again is your host, Matthew Carabellis. You can find me at MrPlow1223 on Twitter. And also at twitch.tv/MrPlow1223 as well, if you want to make sure you get all the good juicy details of the gaming news. And again, tonight's episode was a co-hosting with my good friend, who is on the other line here. You want to say goodbye to the folks?
Nice sticking around, nice talking about stuff. Hopefully I can come on again and do this again. It's fun.
Did you like it?
Yeah. That was fun. Definitely. Don't really get to share my opinion on stuff a lot, so.
Well,
at least I don't really have a lot of people that will listen to my opinion, so it's kind of nice to get on here and talk about it and
kind of get some things off my mind. Well, you do have socials, right?
I do.
Do you want to share those for people to find you, and then you could share your opinion about things with those people that follow you on your socials?
Yeah. I mean,
if you don't mind.
Twitter is at Fallen Gaming, but it's FALENGAMING, and Twitch is the same, Fallen Gaming. That's about all the socials I really use.
You don't have
one? If you want to follow, go for it.
What's up? You don't have a podcast of your own quite yet?
Not quite yet. I've been thinking about it. Haven't quite had one set up yet, but well, not really gaming related. It's more automotive related, so if anybody's interested, it's the Daily Petrolhead on Facebook.
But, all right. Well, yeah. if anything, I'll be more than happy to join in on your podcast as well, Matt. So
sure.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and have a good night. This is your host signing off.